Are you sometimes nostalgic about the past? I've noticed in my time as pastor, especially visiting people like the elderly, perhaps in a shut-in visit or in a hospital visit, I've noticed that people often get very nostalgic. I'm surprised sometimes by the conversations and stories. People don't often emphasize, haven't always in those visits, they haven't always emphasized, say, their career or maybe the places they've all lived in life. A lot of times, even if they talk about children, it's even from the past or talking and giving stories about their childhood. And I found that that's even if people have very difficult childhoods, they still remember and look back on them, perhaps with respect for those who helped get them through those tough times too. I've even noticed with friends of mine too, about my age, that they can be nostalgic about decades in the past and the way things used to be. In our lesson for today, it teaches us to be nostalgic, but in a little different way. To look back on childhood, spiritually speaking, though, doesn't Jesus lift up the example of little children in our lesson? He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. So we're going to want to look to the example of little children here a little bit. Be nostalgic for what is it about children? What is it about our past as children that's so important that Jesus highlights that here in our lesson, even above being wise and prudent and those sorts of things. And wow, isn't it something that he lifts up the example of children here? So today we do learn to be nostalgic, spiritually speaking. We see throughout Scripture, and especially in the Gospels, if you read through them, among other things, you'll find two main themes or motifs that are constantly emphasized with Jesus. One theme is comparing our relationship to God with this parent-child comparison. And another theme is the great reversal theme. How Jesus often takes things that we think is the way it should be, or human reason says, or what the world says, and he flips it upside down and says the opposite. And here in our lesson, we find a good example of both of those motifs. He emphasizes the children, and he flips things on you and says, wisdom isn't so big a deal as being like these little children. And so we got to think, okay, what is it about children that makes them such a great example for us? And there are some things to think about. Isn't it interesting how often children can be very trusting, even to the point of being gullible, right? You can tell them all sorts of stories or fairy tales or things like that, and they will pretty much believe you without really proof, even if it's really oddballish. They're very believing in those ways. As we get older, don't we tend to get a little cynical, and even in a bad way? I mean, think about our faith and spiritual matters, how easy it is to be cynical, to treat prayer like it is nothing more special, nothing that accomplishes anything, and you might as well be praying to the tooth fairy sometimes with the way that we approach prayer and don't treat it as serious as it is. Or think about even when we're in tough times, and we can maybe think of a cliche like, oh, God will work it for good. Do we really, though, trusting in our heart, think, yeah, God is taking care of me still? Now, often we can get a little cynical with how God works in our lives. Another thing about children is think about how children can be taught. And they have all these years of schooling they go through. And children do No, they need to be taught. They need to go to school. They need to learn things. As we get older, we tend to think that we're know-it-alls a little bit more, and that we don't have a whole lot more we need to learn and grow in. And that can get tough when it comes to God's Word, too. Have we graduated from it? Do we pretty much know it all already? Sometimes we can not take to heart that as Christians, we are to be lifelong learners from God's Word. You try to talk a child out of dropping out of school and say, don't do it, stay in school. Well, how much more as Christians should we stay in school, so to speak, under God's Word and hearing and learning it gladly? Children can be told they're wrong. It doesn't always go perfectly well, but children can more easily be told they're wrong than you can tell an adult that they're wrong. And don't we know that that's really true? That you can take a child aside and be like, no, this is wrong. This isn't how it is. You can make things right. But with an adult, yeah, you really are going to have a tough time telling someone they're wrong and not having it turn into a personal fight or a disaster zone. And isn't that something for us as adults to realize? Because if you think about church and God's Word, isn't a big part of our faith being told we're wrong? Like, we just confessed sins and things like that. We just said, oh, I'm wrong. But in reality, in our hearts, sometimes with our sinfulness, we do have a tough time thinking, yeah, I'm actually confessing actual sins, things that I've done wrong. And so it does get to be tough because it's a dangerous thing if you think about it. If we can't be told we're wrong, we're basically saying we don't make a mistake or aren't sinful. And refusing correction and having impenitent hearts, which is a very spiritually dangerous thing. So, yeah, we can really learn a lot from children. They are examples of trusting. They're examples of needing to be taught, and they're examples of being able to be told you're wrong. And, yeah, we've seen in some of those areas we fall short at times. But think about another aspect of why this child-parent motif is so prominent throughout Scripture, that children are taken care of, aren't they, through that childhood. They have parents or people looking after them, getting them through that childhood. And I think that's often why people get nostalgic about childhood, is remembering maybe fewer obligations, maybe remembering getting taken care of and not having maybe all the stress of adulthood. And that's a wonderful comfort when we look to how God is our Father, that gets at how He's taken care of us. We're like His children, and we need to be taken care of. And what a joy it is that God has taken care of us. And that's a big message in Scripture too, that He wanted to take care of us spiritually. Accomplished this, first of all, through His Son Jesus, that by His work, He could take away our sins and give us heaven itself. And notice this emphasis in our lesson here, when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, yeah, He's going to give you rest. He's going to take your burden on Himself and give you rest, take care of you. And so just like children are taken care of by parents or guardians, we find a great comfort that our Heavenly Father is taking care of us as His dear children. And so the children don't work for food and clothing. We don't work for our Heavenly Father's blessings, and that He accomplished them for us through Jesus, that He lived a perfect and sinless life to make up for and cancel out the sins that we've committed throughout our life, and so He could bestow the credit for His perfection on us. When He died on the cross and said it is finished even, we know the payment for our sins is complete. And that's taken care of for us by him. He rose again to know what is this for us now here, that our life isn't just some sad walk toward death, but we know that in Christ, looking to him, we don't need to fear death, that he's conquered it. He's going to give us our own resurrection and life eternal itself. So in Christ, we are relieved of all burdens. We don't work for it. He's conquered death and hell for us and given us heaven in its place. That's the work he's done for us. And so we have freedom. We don't work our way to heaven as children. We simply receive it like a gift. And remembering another motif about that father-child relationship in Scripture, think about how, as believing, we receive all of God's blessings, and a way that faith or believing in God is pictured in Scripture prominently is being born again. Jesus in John 3, for example, tells Nicodemus, a guy visiting him, you need to be born again. And being born again is synonymous with believing or having faith. And in Christianity, there is a little bit of confusion sometimes with people about faith and thinking wrongly that faith is something that we accomplish to something that we choose to do to be right with God. Rather, faith is something that God causes in our hearts and something that he gets glory and credit for, not ourselves. And that's why Jesus in our lesson says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He's saying that God is the one that chooses and works faith in heart. And the picture in Scripture of being born again fits that very well. Because as a father, I've been in enough delivery rooms in my time to know that when a child is being born, it isn't the child who's doing the work. It's mom doing the work, right? And so with faith and being born again, it's not us, it's not the ones who are being born again or having faith that are doing the work. It's God doing the work. And just as Jesus points out in the lesson, the Father choosing and the Son choosing to reveal, the Father, I mean, that God is the one that does the work to create faith in our hearts. And with that faith, we receive gladly all of God's blessings that he's accomplished for us. And when I talked about Jesus relieving us of our burdens, and I'll read this passage again. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I emphasized before how Jesus has borne our burdens and paved our way and earned our way to heaven. If you are listening really closely to here, though, you'll notice that Jesus still talks about us having a burden, too. He doesn't say no burden. He just says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, well, what's that talking about? What is this burden that we still have? And it actually ties in with last Sunday's sermon, how we remember as Christians there are these side effects, these crosses and challenges that we face as a result of our faith. And so Jesus is acknowledging here, yeah, though he has many great blessings for us, as Christians, we still will face challenges and difficulties in this life, but they will be, you know, easy and a light burden in comparison to the free gifts that he's won for us. You know, those crosses that we bear at times are related to, if you think of that picture of the parent and child, that, yeah, there are times that it can be tough for us, not knowing all the details, for example, of what God has in mind. Sometimes it can be challenging for us not being in charge or not making the rules as children, you know, don't get to do those things. not being the boss. And so as God's children, there are many examples of areas where, yeah, we do have those challenges and light burdens and yokes as we strive to live out our Christian lives here on this earth, struggling against sin and denying ourselves. And yet, bearing in mind what our Lord has done, that is an easy and light burden. He's even accomplished heaven itself for us. And so, as we've seen, we have a great number of reasons to be spiritually nostalgic. Looking at our childhood, we see, we could take easily a page out of the playbook of children. The importance of being trusting, as we talked about, the importance of learning and needing to stay in school, so to speak, the importance of being able to be told we're wrong as well. And yet the positive aspects of, as children, we get taken care of, and that's what God has done for us. He's taken care of us in this life and even eternally through Jesus. And that gets at actually a second meaning of the word nostalgic, actually. The etymology of the word nostalgic is from the Greek language meaning homesickness. And we don't usually use it that way nowadays, but isn't it interesting that as Christians, yes, we can be nostalgic remembering our childhoods and those spiritual lessons there, but we can also be nostalgic in the spiritual sense as well of homesickness, that we see this life as temporary and gladly look forward to the eternal life that our Lord has accomplished for us, our true and heavenly home to be homesick for. And thankfully, Christ has accomplished that for us. He gives it to us freely through faith, and he's given us peace in this life as we wait for that heavenly home. Amen.